Bible with you, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke. We'll be in chapter 18. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. If you don't have your Bible with you or you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles available in the room. I'd invite you to go and grab one of those. If you are using one from the room, turn to page 1494. Luke is the third gospel in the New Testament. And this morning's reading of Luke 18 is one of my favorite parables in Luke's gospel because it carries an amazing and powerful message for the church, but it also delivers in such a way that demonstrates an authoritative teacher that Jesus is. Jesus uses a very creative method of teaching, not through comparison or a series of comparisons, but rather through a series of insightful contrasts to make his point. The parable unfolds between two characters, a judge and a widow. And we'll hear Jesus encourage the disciples as he encourages us to pray what's really on our hearts and not give up in asking. This morning, we're not going to focus on the posture of prayer or the framework of prayer, but we're going to focus on the persistence of prayer. There are many things in this world and in our lives that discourage us and lead to prayerlessness. And so in our time together in the text this morning, we'll see that prayerlessness is equivalent to faithlessness. Persistent prayer demonstrates the faith that God is looking for. Genuine faith, living faith, is revealed most clearly, manifested most clearly in persistent prayer. And our time together this morning and our reading and hearing and receiving of God's holy word, I pray that we encounter Christ, that we strengthen our faith, or perhaps we discover it for the very first time. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we just ask that in our time together, would you bring truth to light? Lord God, would you transform us? Would you change our lives forever? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus' name, amen. Rather than starting in verse 1 this morning, I want us to look at verse 8 of the text. Jesus asked, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? What a powerful question for us to reflect on and what Jesus is speaking to us. If our life is to be faith-filled, it's got to be characterized by prayer. Prayer is one of those incredibly significant parts of our faith journey, of our lives, that's attended by challenges, by questions, by mysteries. In this morning's gospel reading, we hear Jesus tell this story about prayer in the face of waiting and in silence. How many here would testify to the fact that sometimes it's tough to keep praying? Pastor Mark spoke to lament and sharing what's really on our hearts in the moment of anger and hurt and in the questions. You all journeyed with me in November as we saw a miraculous healing of my body. But in that persistent prayer, there remains the lingering effects of things that occurred in November. And if I'm honest, there are times that it is hard to go to God and pray. Because when my words don't come out correctly, when I can't see exactly as I used to, it's hard to hold to the promise that I know that he's made. But his word asks us to be persistent. Sometimes we pray about something and we pray about something and we pray about something and it starts to feel like a 10-ton boulder and it just won't move. And the tendency is, in those moments, the tendencies that I have, that you have, that we have, is that when the going gets tough in prayer, in the waiting and in the silence, we tend to throw in the towel on prayer. And we say, well, it's just not working. God just isn't answering for whatever reason. Maybe it's a breakthrough in your marriage that you're waiting for. Maybe you're single and you're praying for the one that God has chosen for you. Maybe it's physical healing. Maybe it's emotional healing. Maybe there's a sin in your life that you keep handing over, but it keeps tripping you up over and over again. The delays in answer to prayer can be frustrating and confusing. But in those moments, God is at work, and often in the greatest ways in our lives. Delays teach us persistence in prayer. The problem is not that God is insensitive to our needs. Church, hear that. God is not insensitive to our needs. It is often his way of helping us to overcome our own insensitivity. Delays cause us to lean into God with a greater intensity, to recognize God's work when he responds. In Luke 11:9, Jesus says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you." Three simple verbs: ask, seek, knock, markers of the common prayer journey. Often, when we talk about prayer, we focus on the framework or our posture of prayer, especially when we're new to the faith. We don't know, is it right to pray with our eyes open or with our eyes closed? Should we stand or should we sit? Should we fold our hands? Should we raise our hands? What's the posture of prayer? Our posture is important. The posture of our heart, the posture of our soul is significant. And in this morning's gospel, in the text reading this morning, it's not nearly as concerned about our posture as God is about our persistence. Jesus tells the disciples in verse 1, he tells them a parable and he says, they should always pray and not give up. The purpose of the parable is to encourage us to pray and to keep praying and not to become discouraged if our prayers are not answered immediately. In a word, Jesus is telling us, be persistent. Only as we persist in prayer will we persist in our faith. In the Jewish culture of the day and throughout the ancient world, a widow epitomizes the helplessness and vulnerability. A widow was generally forced to move back to her father's house for protection. And there were few ways that a single woman could support herself in the first century. As a widow, such as this would be vulnerable to exploitation. And we don't know exactly what the circumstances are. We don't know that what has been cheated of her, but we do know that something has been cheated. And the only resource that she has is to come before the unjust judge. Jesus, telling the parable of the widow, is advocating for herself in a court would have been confrontational to many, and to others, it would have been dignifying. Tragically, at this time in history, a woman's testimony was inadmissible in court. The place of women in society was so low that their word was deemed to be unreliable in justice-related matters. And yet, this widow, she comes to the judge not once, not twice, but over and over again. She comes to this judge and she asks for him to administer justice on her behalf. Now, there are only two things that we know about this judge in this text, and both things are not good. In verse 2, we are told that he neither feared God nor cared what people thought. Proverbs 9:10 says and emphasizes that true wisdom starts with reverence and respect of God. Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Because this judge does not fear God, he doesn't believe in a higher moral authority, which in essence means he thinks he is the law unto himself. So he can decide whatever he wants to decide without regard, without reverence to God. And on top of this, he doesn't care what people think. So if you're victimized, he doesn't care. If you're wronged, he doesn't care. If you're robbed, he doesn't care. Without fear of God, without care for people, Jesus calls him an unjust judge in verse 6. This unjust judge was the widow's only hope. This woman, this widow, she lacked everything that she needs in terms of resources, legal and cultural options, respect. She has none. But there was one thing. There is one thing that this woman has, and that is persistence. This woman's persistence is the focal point of the parable. She went back to the judge again and again and again, crying out, "Give me justice against my adversary." And each time, the judge dismissed her again and again. But the more persistent she became, eventually her persistence wore him down. Even the judge who didn't fear God, who didn't care what people thought about him. Look at verse 5 in the text. Hear what it says. Because the widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice. Essentially, he said, I've got to get this woman off my back. for the kids in the room and the parents in the room, I want you to think for the moment, just after dinner sometimes, do you ever hear the cry, can we have ice cream? And then as a parent, you start to think, well, we had cookies after lunch and we had, you know, whatever for breakfast, so no ice cream. But the kid keeps coming back, can I have ice cream? Can we please have ice cream? Please, can we have ice cream? And every time you say no, and then it's like 30 minutes before bed and you're tired and the kid comes back and says, can I have ice cream? Fine, right? Let's just get them ready for bed, have ice cream and let's go to bed. That's the judge. This woman has come back time and time again crying out, give me justice. And finally, he gives in. He gives in to her. Now listen to the way that Jesus teaches by contrast. In verse 6 and 7, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? Now, some struggle with this parable. And the reason that I believe they struggle, that they have a hard time with this parable, is because the interpretation is off. And they look at the parable as they essentially think that Jesus is comparing us to the widow and God to the unjust judge. And that idea, they reason, is that if we just wear God down enough with our constant nagging about something, that he will eventually give us what we want. Have you nagged God for something? Have you thought about the things that you've nagged God for and later looked back and thanked him for not giving you what you nagged him for? This is not how the parable was supposed to be interpreted, because the parable is not primarily a parable of comparison. It's a parable that is primarily one of contrast. Jesus doesn't compare the unjust judge to God. He distinguishes God from the judge. This woman who was a widow, and as a widow, she is one of the most disadvantaged classes of society at this time. And Jesus chose her. He chose her and her social status to show her desperation as she was crying out to the judge. This judge heard her request over and over again. He would have rather never laid eyes upon her. He dismisses her over and over again until finally he gives her justice. The point of the parable is that if an unjust judge, an uncaring judge, would do this for a poor widow, what did he do? How much more would he do as a willing and caring and loving Father of Heaven for you and I? We need to be persistent in our prayer, because our Father in Heaven delights to do good for his children. This parable is about persistent, shameless prayer, keeping our requests continually before God with an attitude of confidence and an attitude of gratitude. He hears our prayers and he will answer them. Now, the very fact that this is a parable that challenges us to be persistent implies that we will not always get what we want when we want it from God. Otherwise, Jesus would not have had to teach us this parable. If every time we prayed about something, we got what we wanted, when we wanted, Jesus would have no reason to urge us to continue to pray and to hang in there. The reason that Jesus is teaching this parable is because when we pray, we will not always get what we want. We will not always get it when we want it, and we will certainly not always get it when and what we want, which is telling, because Jesus calls us to pray persistently, even when we don't get immediate answers. But the question becomes, so why do we need to be persistent? Why is it that God doesn't just give us what we ask for when we want it? Why should we be persistent in prayer when we don't get immediate answers? Because maybe it's not His will. Maybe it's not His timing. And maybe we don't know what is best. So we have to keep praying and keep praying and keep praying until we know one way or another. Think of Jacob in the Old Testament when he comes to the end of himself at the place of total surrender as he's wrestling with God. He urgently persisted in prayer. When Jacob got a hold of God and wouldn't let go, he said, I will not let go unless you bless me. And guess what? Jacob walked away with a blessing. He was limping, but he walked away with his blessing. Daniel was an exiled Jew, and he had a daily appointment, not a daily appointment, three daily appointments, morning, noon, and evening to pray. He would go upstairs to his room where the windows opened to Jerusalem. He would bow down. He would pray. He would seek wisdom from God. He would give thanks. And some of Daniel's pagan coworkers became jealous of Daniel. And so they came up with this clever scheme to get rid of him. They convinced Darius to issue a decree that for the next 30 days, no one could pray to any god or man, except for the king himself. The penalty, death. The decree went out. When Daniel heard the decree, the Bible says that he never changed his practice for an instant. He was persistent in his prayer, even in the face of death. In Genesis 18, Abraham persistently interceded with God on behalf of Sodom, negotiating for its potential salvation. After prolonged drought, Elijah prayed persistently for rain, despite receiving no immediate results. He continued praying until a small cloud appeared, signaling the coming of rain. In Mark 7, a woman persistently asked Jesus to heal her daughter. Even when Jesus initially denies her, her persistence reveals her faith. Paul kept an unbreakable prayer appointments with God. He wrote to Christians saying, devote yourselves to prayer. Throughout Scripture, as we read, we see the persistence of prayer. We see the persistence of going over and over again before God. And there are two things that we find in Scripture that God collects. He collects prayers and He collects tears. The world in its current form is passing away, but our prayers and our tears are eternal. In Revelation chapter 5, we are given a glimpse at the receiving end of our prayers. In verse 8, it says, when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are prayers of God's people. Author Tyler Staton, praying like monks, living like fools, explains, at the proper time, God is tipping the bowl, pouring out our requests on the earth. He has collected every prayer we have ever prayed, and redemption comes when he rains down those prayers on the earth once and for all. The renewal of the world, heaven and earth restored as one, begins with God pouring out all the prayers of his children like a purifying fire with one great resounding yes. Church, may we be a people persistent in our prayers as God saves our prayers, as he pours them out. Let us pray. Lord God, we worship you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You are worthy of our praise and our worship. And Lord, may we be a people who are driven to our knees, driven to our knees by the needs of our lives. And Lord, may we stay there from a relationship of love. Lord, we're trusting you. We're believing in you even when we can't see a way. We pray that your will would be done in your timing. Lord, we know that your ways are greater than ours. Come and have your way with us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.